listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 27th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm happy to be here. It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. Happy to have you. Happy to have those joining us live and happy to have those that catch up with us from the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs, and you can find them at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Dr. Vicki, I'm looking forward to tonight's discussion, but as always, we're going to jump into our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we are alone and responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Dr. Vicki, welcome. It's going to be a good one. We're going to be talking about free will and determinism tonight.
This will be good. You know, we've had these discussions before, but there's always a new angle that we approach things from, or we try to. And, you know, what is free will? What is predetermined, you know?
Yeah, and there's a couple of avenues that I kind of want to think on tonight, but yeah. It's going to be an open discussion. But, yeah, I want to kind of broadly talk about free will, determinism. We touched on it a lot. We talked about it in the program. I want to examine what is it with, and we've touched on this before, but hey, it's fun. I think we've talked about everything in the last decade. But when it comes to the multiverse, if we have a universe where every version of events happens, do we have control over what happens in this universe, or are we simply in the universe in which that thing happens? Or is it simply that infinity exists and, you know, maybe it is because of certain conditions and stimuli that there's a world in which we might be pushed to do something or inspired to do something else? So these are kind of the questions I want to tackle in these conceptual ideas of combining the idea of free will and, well, how do we combine that with something where every possibility exists? So kind of, that's just kind of where I was coming at from it.
Well, I think that everybody has their own frequency of energy, and I think in some predetermined way we follow that frequency, unless, of course, you know, we encounter things, but I don't know. Was it intended for us to get in that car accident, for instance? Mm-hmm. You know? Was it intended for somebody to run that red light? Was it intended? I don't believe that. I think somewhere in the midst is some kind of chaos. I don't know how that can be determined. You know? I think cause and effect, action, reaction, you know, natural law, basically. Mm-hmm. So I think we have free will. I mean, blanket statement, I think it's free will in kind of a predetermined energy, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
I get what you're saying. You know, you're talking about the general path. We have some different avenues we can take on that path, but life kind of sets us in a direction. And I think in a very huge way, that's 100% agree with you. When it comes
but
to,
I do wonder about the multiverse, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That sometimes really perplexes me.
I think
the Matrix.
Yeah. This is just my gut saying, and obviously nobody knows anything when it comes to quantum physics, but I don't think there's a universe where every version of something happens. I think that there's just a massive series of universes. I think that, you know, we might have a universe where you and I do the exact same things, but something little changes somewhere else, and, you know, that will have consequences. But I don't, you know, the entire idea of the multiverse is looking at particles and, you know, the collapsing wave function, I've heard them say, and the idea that everything is possible until a decision is made and it gets locked in, right? And it's just, you know, I think if we ever do discover what possible truth might come from a multiverse, I think it's, I think we're going to find out that, yes, we have free will, but there is a lot of things that we don't control. There's so much that happens from random chance. So, you know,
go ahead.
I was going to finish it off by saying, is there a world where a truly good person is just a serial killer? I don't think so, but I think that, because of random chance, I think that there's a universe where maybe, you know, who knows? But that's just my gut feeling that, you know, where bad things have happened, where, you know, maybe you run that red light and you miss an accident, or you don't run that red light and, you know, you miss the accident. What's that? There's something called the burnt toast theory. If you burn the toast and get delayed in the morning, you might avoid a catastrophe. So you don't know exactly how things are going to work out. You burn the toast, it leads to delays. You're late for your flight. You miss your flight, the plane crashes. So all in all, you know.
That's if your spirit guys are doing their job.
I'm not going to lie. You know, we got a lot of lazy spirit guides. I mean, no. There's a lot of stuff going on.
You know, I think that there's something else here to consider, and that is how self-aware, self-awake are we to social conditioning? Because all of us are conditioned to believe in a certain reality. Now, each of us lives in our own reality because it's subjective.
Yeah.
And yet, we think globally, you know, that's a reality. You know, you live in a country, that's your reality. And we're conditioned, even subliminally, into believing that that is real. That's the way it is. So I think any free will that we think we have is still managing or navigating its way through these preconditioned ideas that we have. So back to self-awareness. Are we aware enough of ourselves to have our own mind and our own ideas of, you know, making our own decisions? Or are we just kind of working with the ideas that are already given to us because we think that's real? So what's predetermined? So determinism, I think, can happen at many levels.
And real quick, and this is because I want to do a quick definition of determinism because everybody knows free will, but I don't think determinism is quite as widespread. You know, I reckon most of our listeners, if not all, already know it. But just in case, determinism is the philosophical, metaphysical idea that all events, including human actions and choices, are completely determined by previously existing causes and the laws of nature. You know, it works great in hindsight. You know, it says that nothing happens by pure chance, that everything is cause and effect. Yeah, but there is still a decision-making process that goes on. Animals change. They adapt. They, you know, they make decisions, and those decisions become instinct over time. Same is true with humans. And we make choices every day. And those choices, you know, combined with the billions of other choices that are being made at that same moment by the rest of our species, they do affect the destiny of our species. That this is what I believe. Now, because of our perspective, you know, we can't see it, but I think you're absolutely right. You know, I think there is such a thing as objective reality, right? You know, we can see, you know, science, the laws of nature, you know, mathematics, all of these things. You can say that there are this many people in the country, there is this much. You can say all these things as just matter of fact that this is what it is. There, you know, I have four dogs in the house with me right now. As far as I know, there could be another one flipping about. I don't know. They all kind of meld together. But again, yeah, you're 100% right. It's that world that we live in, that reality of our perceptions of what we believe to be true. And it comes back to that that card, and I don't know them all by heart, but basically it's the one that states that, you know, change your beliefs and you change your world, change your beliefs and you change what you think is possible. That we've talked about this before. You know, my father, Dr. Kelly, has talked about this before. You've mentioned it. It's when you free will is choosing from the menu of options we have. You talked about it earlier with our paths and the frequencies. And I think that what we believe, you know, our beliefs determine what we see on the menu. And, you know, there are a lot of people that say that we don't have free will because we can't always determine our personality traits. You know, sometimes they're thrust upon us by genetics, by, you know, the random chance of upbringing. But we can get to a point, and it's been demonstrated time and time again, that through repetition and focused intent and will, you can change your behaviors. You can change your personality traits. So again, you know, I get it. It's a tug and it's a push and a pull. If you can change your belief system, you can change your world. So, any thoughts?
No, I mean, I'm rolling with you. I totally get it. I think that what is the ultimate question is what is predetermined?
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned natural, like thinking nature.
Yeah.
We're not aware enough, some of us, about observing nature and how that works. So if I do this, that's going to happen. Oh, really? You know,
yeah.
But if I do that, this is going to happen. I go, oh, really? You know, because if we're not aware,
mm-hmm.
then we're not paying attention or giving attention to how nature works.
And I think
it's kind of like if you put, you know, you put your hand on a hot stove, you're going to burn yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a no-brainer for some people, but they're going to try it anyway, you know? And, well, I don't know why I burned myself. It was on low, you know? And so understanding that there's these natural causes and effects that I think within nature are determined. But like, as you say, you know, we're always adapting to new conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, Kevin is asking in the chat, how do we differentiate between determinism and conditioning? You know, that's the ultimate question, I think, Kevin, is how much of us are conditioned within our reality that we think we have free will, but our behaviors are already determined. So let's go with social media, for instance.
Yeah.
It's now so much of a reality. Young people cannot imagine the world prior to social media. So nearly all decisions and behaviors mm-hmm. kind of go in line with social media or using the internet, you know, the great big web and computers, and everybody has power and water until you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But everything is framed within that reality. So it's almost as though it's determinism within a frame. So don't know. I think in many ways it goes totally against nature and natural law.
The idea of determinism, you mean?
The way people behave within their frameworks.
Oh, you mean, okay, yeah. Yeah, well, for sure. But the thing about human decisions, behaviors, and all of that is it makes perfect sense when you realize that none of it's logical unless you take into account the emotional logic in how all of this is to form better. Like people have said before that there's no, what is the evolutionary purpose of religion? How does that benefit anybody? You know, who's getting something out of that? They're getting everything out of it. To set aside your critical thinking, to set aside the existential dread of the universe, and to comfort yourself thinking that you know everything, that is enormously powerful in terms of the ability to lie to yourself. It is an evolutionary thing that we have developed. So you have to ask yourself, are we going to continue to be the species that will lie to ourselves, or are we going to look for objective truth in reality? Because, you know, yes, religion, it does many things. It provides that social cohesion. It gives the laws and the rules of things. It is just another facet of the natural side of humanity, that tribalism. Nature is religion is the most natural thing there is. It's nothing more than tribalism. It's nothing more than chimpanzees that are banding together. It's the same thing. And this, you know, idea of determinism to me is an entire farce because it only makes sense in hindsight. Every day things are moving forward. Every day things are changing. And I think that the philosophical idea of determinism, that nobody really has a free choice, again, only makes sense in hindsight. Because when you're looking at history, you can say this points to this, points to this, points to this. but it's being created in the moment, in this now, I think, which brings me to my next point. By the way, Dr. Gibbon also said, who does the determining? Who indeed? Good question to ask, but let's also bring up the next point, and that is the Andromeda paradox. We have a podcast that we've covered. We've talked about this once or twice, but the Andromeda paradox is one of my favorite ideas. And the Andromeda paradox is a thought experiment. It is basically the idea that two people are walking past each other here on a street on Earth. Person A is standing still. Person B, this is, by the way, coming from Reddit Ask Physics. This is person A standing still while person B is walking towards the Andromeda Galaxy, which is roughly 2.5 million light years away. Because of the extreme distances to Andromeda, even a tiny difference in motion, like the act of walking, creates a tilt in their plane of simultaneity. I can't pronounce that word. Simultaneity, what they define as happening in that exact moment. Because person A, the inhabitants of Andromeda, are currently undecided about whether to launch an invasion towards Earth. To person B, because they're moving towards Andromeda, they're now slices millions of miles further into the future of that galaxy. Consequently, in person B's frame of reference, the invasion fleet has already been launched. And this is just this is the theory of relativity. We know that time moves differently depending on your speed. I mean, you know, I haven't seen Interstellar, but it's been in pop culture so much that I know all the spoilers anyway. So we've all known that thing, that time delineation, that what we consider now is relative only to us. So again, if you're looking at this universe and if you look at all of time space as far as we can, it might just look like a map that's already charted out in this cylinder, this cone that goes out from the Big Bang of all existence. So again, where does free will play into that? I don't know. You know, I would make the analogy to an author in a book. When a book is written, when you look back on it, did it always have to come out that way? You know, or did the author make choices? Did the author think about things and make choices in real time that determined how that book came out? You know, so obviously I don't have the answers. Nobody does. That's what makes all this so fun. But yeah, I cannot get my head around determinism in the sense that it just only fits when you're looking back. You know, it cannot, you know, there's always going to be the outliers. You talked about chaos earlier, chaos and order. Those are two sides of the same coin, in that there's always going to be a little chaos in your order. There's always going to be things that, you know, that throw a curveball at it, at life. You know, the variables that you can't account for. So, is everything determined? I think a lot of things are, just because of the weight of existence and society and time and everything pushing us in a direction. We all feel it. Social media is a great example of that. But it's been going on forever, you know. It is an amazing thing. You know, we objectively have it better now than most folks did in the 1970s in the Western world, yet people are more pessimistic about the economy now than they were in the 1970s. Why is that? I think it's because of the mood that gets propagated on social media and the fact that it is high currency to be doom and gloom right now. Now, I'm not saying there isn't problems, but I'm just saying there's always been problems, and the problems have been severe before, but people felt differently about it. What's changed? Social media is what changed. And it is something that I think that we're going to have to really deal with. And when it comes, and this wasn't in my agenda, so Dr. Vicky, this is all thanks to you, but this is perfect in talking about free will, because social media is one giant social experiment. It is a social engineering experiment. Whether it's intentional or not, it is basically like programming. People are being programmed into how to behave and to what to think in all these different ways, and they polarize into camps, you know? And it is a scary time, but...
Well, you know, to kind of add to Kevin's remark about who does the determining, I think a maturity has a lot to do with that, because we have many parts to ourselves. If we're not given, let's say, natural experiences to evolve our emotional quotient, because I really think that's important, then we continue to act like a child or childlike because emotions are now running the thinking. So, you know, it's like you can do all the therapy in the world, but until you get emotionally triggered, you don't really know if you've done the work because it's an experience. Life is an experience of cause and effect, action, reaction. But if you didn't have to be responsible for yourself, and that seems to be a big thing these days, then how are you going to evolve emotionally to determine, you know, your evolution? You're now, I think, no matter what we are in a social thing or the global thing or the universal thing, each of us individually, the micro of it, is got our own progression, if you will. So if we don't emotionally grow, we remain childlike, and we determine that childlike life and lifestyle, and we make decisions based from that viewpoint. I mean, how many adults have you seen, you know, have a temper tantrum, and that reminds you of an 8-year-old, you know? And it's like there's not a maturity there to deal with things in an adult way. And so how then are you determining your life? Well, you're determining your life through fear or creating fear or bullying or power playing. You go after money, you go after, you know, anything that doesn't make you stop and look at your emotions. So determining then becomes skewed. It becomes channeled into one area instead of being a whole human being, spiritually inclusive, you know, where you want the emotional, intellect, the spiritual, physical elements all working together and evolving as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So who does the determining? I think we each do, because no matter the circumstance you're given, you know, we each have that wherewithal in us to overcome that. Some don't. And, you know, I get great compassion here for that. A lot of people are broken, you know, and just can't do it. But we're given the wherewithal to determine our own fate, determine our own pathways. But, you know, I guess the thing is you can have 20 people in a room, and they all might agree to a very basic understanding of a reality, but each of them may be very selfish in what they want without considering the other people.
Yeah.
You know, so that we get to humanity. You know, Dr. Kelly wrote, you know, in the newsletter this week about humanity, or, you know, the church newsletter. And so it's keeping that in mind. So what is the evolution? What is the determining? We're determining in a very small frame of thinking and living our lives. When you see the humanity of it, you open up, you become more self-inclusive, and then you can see nature, and then you can build your emotional maturity. Yeah, I right. think that. So, And look, we've all been guilty of being in a situation that serves our emotional needs.
Oh, yeah.
And that becomes our reality.
Yeah.
So what's being determined here? Am I living outside myself? Am I living in myself? What is that? So what is my free will? My free will is to be there. But what's determined within that situation? Because mm-hmm. you know, when you step outside of it, it's kind of a no-brainer. This is not healthy, you know. But when you're in it, it's that cognitive dissonance. And so this is where I get, you know, in this whole discussion of free will versus determinism, I think there's so many layers to it. If we just think that, you know, the universe has got everything mapped out and we're just living according to the plan, I think that's a real stretch.
Mm. Well,
you know,
like many
there's
things,
so many variables.
Exactly. Like many things in this life, the truth is it's a mix of both. You know, paradoxes, they exist for a reason. And A lot of our lives are determined for us. I did not choose to be born in the 20, you know, in the 20th century, in the latter half of the 20th century.
Oh, some and, might disagree with that.
Some might, and you, I've thought about that before. If we, but you know, well, it depends. If we choose how we come into this, then all of this life is simply a video game that our eternal souls play because it gets boring to be eternal. And you want to take a run at something where you can be mortal for a while just to get out of mundane nature of immortality. Because immortality would be a curse unto itself. I only want to live for like 1,000 or 2,000 years. Maybe like 10,000 years. That's all I want. That's all
well,
I want. But
just keep in mind that there are the theories that we volunteer to come to the earth to create.
Yeah, and it may well be.
So it's not necessarily that we determine those parents. This is, again, what I've gleaned over the years. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily, you know, choose that family, but we choose the essence of energy that family kind of lives within to create. And I think everybody that comes here, it's not just about learning. You mm-hmm. have to learn the deal when you get here, but I mean, it's about creating, and we're here to work with nature and create. This is the whole, that's the freedom of expression of creating. And unfortunately, we find ourselves trapped. We become contaminated. So do we choose to come here? I think at some level we do, spiritually.
Yeah,
but that only applies if you believe that, you know, the law of thermodynamics, that energy changes, and, you know, we don't die when the body dies.
Well, again, and I totally get it. It's
a great discussion.
It is, and it's a complicated world. And my favorite questions to ask are the ones that have no real answers. But I completely agree with, you know, the discussion, and I think that we need to realize that we have more choices than we realize, that order and chaos are not necessarily just opposites. They go with one another. Order comes from chaos by necessity, by, you know, the fact that nature has a balance. It didn't just happen. Nature fought for its balance. A balance came about because of the nature of existence. Because, you know, when one thing happens, another thing comes up to oppose it, or fills a gap, it fills a void. And we have a lot of choices. We are on a roller coaster ride, but
I think the other thing we have to consider, Michael, is that, you know, when, you know, people, this mm-hmm. is a blanket statement, I know, not, I'm generalizing, but we become addicted to our conveniences. And, you know, we come here, we don't want to give up what we have. You know, for the global powers, is one way to fix this is stop buying stuff. You know, it's that easy. Stop buying stuff you don't need. But we, you know, we like to, you know,
everything
reward ourselves or have things. And, you know, that, you know, we like to outdo the Joneses next door, or, you know, all these things that we're addicted to those things. So when I say addiction, it's, I mean, even psychologically to the things that we have. We, you know, we've lived on this planet for what, 50 plus thousand years. And if we don't have power and water now, we die. Like, I mean,
we have to
stop and think about that.
But I mean, people all over the, you know, developed world end up without power and water all the time. It happens in Florida all the time. I mean,
and it's just a matter of having water.
It's not so much. Yeah, water is a big thing. When things like that happen, it becomes resource management. You know, a lot of people. I urge you to go look into the Bronze Age collapse that happened about 3,500 years ago, and it is a time where you had massive globalization in the Eurasian continent. You had trade routes and, you know, all kinds of things, but over time, you know, that kind of crumbled, and you just could not support the same level of population. You just didn't have the resources. You know, something like that might happen, sure, but people will be resilient. You know, every zombie movie, the whole point is that people are going to turn back into animals when the inconveniences go away. So I have no doubt that humans will become even more ruthless, you know, when the conveniences go away. There's a very good reason why we live in the most peaceful era of all existence, and that's because we have the most comfort and our needs met, which is also another great thing to think about when it comes to society. And, you know, I'm not saying that determinism is 100%, but I am saying that it's a heck of a lot easier to make choices when you're born into one life than when it is when you're born into another. And when a choice is harder or easier, it's going to have a big impact on how many people in that group make that choice. So I think we need to think about, you know, as a society, again, this isn't intended to be about like prison reform or anything either, but bears pointing out that it is economic hardship more than anything else that can be predictive of crime. So I think we just need to, Dr. Givens, if we accept determinism, do we reject responsibility for our actions? Yes.
Yes.
And that's why I reject determinism 100%, because yes, that is exactly what it is. We are responsible for our actions, even if that choice was a hard or easy choice. If you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, it's going to be easier to, you know, to not do, to not rob a store or not do things like that, because you don't need to. You have all the money you need. You know, it's, but at the same time, if you're poor, you also have a choice not to go down that path and to do a different thing. You have a choice. It's not an easy one, is the thing. But yes, we all have responsibility for our actions, for better and worse. So,
you know, I think we have to have Dr. Kevin on the show sometime, because he always pokes really good questions.
He's a 100%. Thinker.
And he does some good work too. So, from the little we've gleaned over him. So we'll have to be in touch with Kevin here. I think that this is a discussion that helps us to reevaluate ourselves and ask ourselves, how awake are we? And how, and meaning, are we more open-minded, you know, it's and aware of ourselves and our role in things. Yeah. And then where's the responsibility? I can't be responsible for somebody else's emotions and their experiences, but I can certainly have compassion and be supportive if somebody's going through a hard time. But what's constant is bad behavior is rewarded anyway. Mm. And this is my big problem with what I think is happening largely through social media, especially.
Yeah.
Is there's no consequence. So and if there's no consequence, that it's like everything.
It's not simply that there's no consequence. It's also that it is the more radical you are, the more views you get, the more, you know, jarring your comments, the more, you know, buzz you get around it on social media. And when they monetize social media, it is the worst thing that you could have possibly done, because it is just leading to an unfortunate degradation when it comes to decency. So. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Again, you know, determinism, any way you look at it, if you accept that, like I hear a lot of people say, well, that's just the way I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, so if you accept that, you're never going to take responsibility
right.
for how you've responded to how you were raised.
Well,
it just requires awareness and determination, not determinism.
Yes. And it doesn't, it's so easy to say, well, that he was a product of his time. And that is true only to a degree, because in every era, there have always been people of any ethnic group that has been, you know, I don't really know about the Mongols, but when it comes to a lot of other people, there's always been people that will point out the evil of it. You know, during the initial wave of Spanish conquistadors, there were friars that were, you know, crying out for the indigenous peoples. There were people that were alive that saw the evil in things that were happening. You know, it is, you can't just say that I did it because that's the way I was taught. Because
that's right.
That's, we have free will. And we know we do it because things change. Things change, and that's how we know. And I mean, as much as they stay the same, they do change, because in the United States, yes, things are still bad when it comes to marginal communities and such, but the civil rights movement and the push over 200 years did make meaningful improvements. When it comes to rights for LGBTQ, it has made real life improvements to people's lives. They are living better lives because of decisions that people make and because of free will. So that's my argument.
I think women should run the world.
Yeah, go for it. Why are you letting us do it? Jeez.
Well, we tried the other way.
Anyway,
I think it's that time of night, you know, where we pick some cards. So for those in the archives or anyone listening that aren't aware, maybe a newcomer, Michael chooses this Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card designed by Dr. Douglas Kelly, and I'll do a supporting tarot card and see what's up.
All right. We have Dawn coming out first.
Yeah.
And for you, I have number 9, Empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
You know, it's like with all symbols, there's a yin and a yang. You know, there's an equal and opposite. Mm-hmm. And the 5 of spades is, the 7 of spades is, what it means is making away with more than you expected, or somebody's taking from you more than they're entitled to or deserving of. And when you have empowerment, though, you know, paired with that, it's your empowerment is bringing a new kind of energy that you hadn't anticipated, Dawn. So it's like you're walking away with more, you know. It's, because one positive step creates another positive or another light bulb moment, and the stronger you get. So it's, I think this is a real affirmation or indication that you're on the right track and that you keep growing. So I love that. You know, I have a friend of mine, she's always been a rather, I was telling Michael before the program, she's always been a rather nervous, meek woman who, you know, is always afraid of doing the wrong thing. and her husband passed 3 years ago. And so she's been on this journey. And oh my, we've created a monster. she is so profoundly awake and empowered and, not letting anything or anyone tell her what to do or push her around, or like she's got her boundaries up. She's, you know, like she said, she even made a big dinner for the family and a couple of things didn't turn out. She didn't care. She said, oh, well, now that would have driven her crazy before, you know, so little things like that. So that's like for her program, I'm just so happy for her. And what I'm seeing in here, Dawn, is a really cool thing for you too.
I love it.
So, all right, we have Kevin.
All right. Kevin, I have for you number 35, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
Wow, when you got the King of Clubs, like King of Wands, with one planet, it speaks to me that you're imparting knowledge to others, you're setting an example, and your words are being heard, and even if you're not aware of it, you're teaching. You're teaching by setting the example, Kevin. And the few words that you're speaking is resonating with people. They may not have seen it before, but they're starting to get it now. They might go, you know, Kevin, you told me this a long time ago, and I see that now. So there's something here that's affirming to you or validating to you that who you've become and are is not lost on others. I don't know why I want to say that to you, but it's a validation in a way, a vindication, if you will. So just keep being you. The King of Clubs, he likes change. He likes to make changes. And again, in that framework of we're all in this together, I think that's really cool.
Very interesting.
We have Donna.
All right. And Dr. Donna, I have for you number two, esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. That is what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
High priestess. Esteem and validation at the high priestess, boy. You might be going through an interesting intuitive expansion time. And here's the thing, people. The less emotional you are, or less emotional attachment, the greater your intuition. We all can have an ASP, you know, that's our third eye, to read our environment. But intuition is that sense of things without anything to explain it. So esteem and validation, your intuitive forces, Donna, it's like learning what's intuitive versus emotional preference. And so going through that, ordinarily I would say that's kind of a download. It's like waking up one morning and feeling, oh, I feel different. What's different? So you have to go through that observing of yourself to know what's different. So you're expanding. It's at a soul or spiritual level. So I think that, and just because you get a whole bunch of random cosmic information doesn't mean you're supposed to do anything with it. That's because when you open a door, there's the floodgates come in. But know what's relevant to you and how to be in your life. So, you know, I think that's really cool.
I love it.
Donna's intuition is growing.
I love it. All right. Well, we have Dr. Jeff next. Long-time friend of the broadcast, and I have for you our first wild card of the evening. Wild card number one, paradox. Kind of fits this evening. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first. And thus, new perspectives are discovered.
The Nine of Pentacles. The Nine of Diamonds is really about home, environment, and satisfaction in that, what you're doing. Now, I'm going to say I did see Jeff's post the other day on Blind Outdoorsman that, you know, he's having a little bit of low energy for a while. Sometimes that low energy is the best energy, Jeff. You know, when you just kind of let things mull around and it's like listening without realizing you're listening. So it's like, oh, I should be doing something. But because you're physically used to doing that and being on your game, this is the time to just, you know, kick back and say, oh, I need time to think. I need time to feel my way through life. And so it's really about home and environment. And, you know, keep going with your videos. And you're so honest. And, you know, your audience is growing. I'm so happy for you. I think this is just kind of a reassurance to you that this is all part of the ebbs and tides of how we need to grow. You can't keep up that same momentum all the time. Mm. You know, we have to, it's like you have to take a weekend off, you know, or a day or some amount of time to just be and be still.
Yeah.
And then it's like one morning you wake up and say, oh, that feels good. I'm ready. No. So, and keep in mind, Jeff, having a heart attack, you're still a bit in recovery and adjusting, you know? So, you know, you have to keep that in mind too. It's like, gives a whole new view of life. So I think, the paradox in Nine of Diamonds is kind of speaks volumes in a way. So you're doing great.
I love it. All right. Well, I think that is about it for our cards this evening. But, well, it's been a good chat. We had a good one tonight.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate these discussions. You know, I think as we go through our lives, as everybody, I'm sure you can relate, there's not a lot of people you can have these talks with. Mm. Not a lot of people who are very much interested in discussions of free will versus determinism or metaphysics, you know, at all.
It's very strange to me.
Yeah. So it's, you know, when we come here on Wednesday to have these conversations, it's, I think it's great. Now, we don't always have a big audience in the live chat. And that is because people are from all over the place. You know, it's summertime. People now are busy, you know, got stuff going on. But there are the archives. People listen to the archives. And, but if you do get a chance to join us Wednesday night in the live chat, you know, we'd love to have you. Well, you know, Absolutely. Even once in a while, if you can pop in. I know Wendy is away, our card keeper right now. She's away at her son's wedding.
Mm-hmm. And good shout out, by the way. Congratulations to her son for his wedding and to the family.
Absolutely. So, I mean, people have got stuff going on. So we don't all, some nights we have a really big crowd, and it happens, tends to be more in the winter, but nonetheless, Michael and I will be here no matter what.
That's true. But, well, thank you, everybody. Of course, we're going to have Dr. Doug Kelly joining us next week for the first Wednesday of the month. So please tune in for that. And thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. And as always, Dr. Vicki, I'm going to throw it to you for last thoughts.
Yeah, don't let them push you around out there. It's like, just be you. Be yourself. Don't let other people, you know, it can happen to any of us, Michael, you know, where things can irritate us or catch us off guard. Mm-hmm. But when you recover, get back to who you are. You remember that.
Well said. And, you know, determinism is, you know, a farce. Use your free will. Use it to make good decisions. Realize that you do have agency. And live a good life. So, yeah. Can't wait to see y'all next week. Can't wait to have Dr. Doug Kelly with us. Can't wait to see you again, Vicki. And
yeah.
Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.